On episode 12 of Not the Model Minority, I talked to Stephen Jinwan Mall, a communication manager who worked briefly in journalism. Stephen embraces the intersectionality of his BPOC and LGBTQ plus identities that push him to view projects and audiences with a nuanced lens. Hi everyone, this is Brian Yang, your host of the Not the Model Minority podcast. Today, I'll be talking to Stephen Jinwan Mall. Stephen is a storyteller, educator, and advocate working as a communications manager with the National LGBT Cancer Network. Stephen is also an assistant professor of communication at LaSalle University. Thank you for joining us today, Stephen.
Sure, thanks for having me.
All right, so our first question is, what is your educational background like?
Sure. So I really got into journalism in high school, kind of by accident. We could talk about that later. But I majored in communications in college. Not exactly the Asian American ideal major, but it's what I wanted to do. And I made the most of my time. And I actually went to graduate school to learn more about journalism specifically. And I went to an Ivy League school, so I guess my parents are happy that I did something Asian American-like. So I wanted to be a television reporter. And so I kind of figured that out late in college, which is why I wanted to do grad school to just kind of get as prepared as possible. So that's my educational background.
All right, wow, really interesting. Good to know. So I guess then, like, I guess this kind of segues with it. Like, what sparked your interest in journalism? Like, why did it appeal to you, like, personally?
So I always loved writing. I think as a kid, I'd write those, like, sing-songy poems and show them to my family and be like, look, I'm such a good writer. And I always loved words. I loved English. I loved writing. And so when I was in high school, you know, you got to sign up for courses for the next semester, next marking period. And I really liked computer science at that point. And it was an elective. So when you sign up for courses, you put like your first preference and your second preference. So I put like computer science as my first preference. And then I was like, oh, there's a course on journalism and creative writing. I'll put that as second. Well, I don't know what happened, but I did not get computer science. And they put me in this journalism class.
Wow.
And it was the best mistake ever. Not even mistake, I think it was intentional. But so what happens is when you're in that journalism creative writing class, you're automatically a staff writer for the newspaper. Oh. And my teacher at the time, you know, just really encouraged me to keep writing, not just poems and sing-songy things, but also to tell good stories, how to write in a journalism style, how to ask good questions. And so that interest kind of developed into a, oh, maybe I could do this as a full-time job type of thing. So when I went to college, I decided to major in communications just because I wanted to see what else I could do. And at the time, I really wanted to be a newspaper reporter. TV wasn't something I was really thinking about until I realized that we're not reading newspapers as much as we used to back in the day. And so for me, I was like, okay, how can I still tell stories, but not just depend on a newspaper to get me there? So that's why broadcasting seemed like an interest to me. I had never really thought about it before. I had always done, you know, things in front of the camera. You know, I'd been in theater and drama and choir. So I was familiar with like performing and being in front of people. So this kind of like blended all of that together. So that's kind of what got me interested in journalism.
Wow, very interesting, honestly. And that probably was one of the best mistakes of your life then. Wow.
For sure.
So I guess what have been some of the most like interesting moments like in your work, like when you've done like news reporting or other work related?
So I have always enjoyed stories that shine a light on people and places that probably don't get a lot of love or publicity. So I always love when people reach out to me and are like, could you look into this, or could you help share this story? And so those are the types of stories that I really enjoyed. I've really enjoyed telling stories about Asian Americans just because I feel like in a lot of newsrooms, those stories don't often get told. And if they are told, it's not usually done accurately. And so I had always enjoyed telling Asian American stories. First it was through writing, and then it was through TV. And so those have been the ones I've really enjoyed. I've also enjoyed telling LGBTQ plus stories. I think that especially in the media, sometimes those stories aren't always positive or not always accurate. So as someone who is LGBTQ plus, I really felt it was important for me to help share those stories. And so those have been the most interesting things is, taking parts of myself and being able to share that with the community in a way that shows off the best in those communities. So those have been the most interesting things for me.
Well, I definitely like relate to that. Like running this podcast, like really trying to showcase like the true like Asian American, like who Asian Americans are, like a diverse group. Definitely. I think that's really, it's really great.
Yeah.
So what have been some of the challenges you have faced, like in some of the work you've done?
I think that journalism is kind of in this space right now where not everyone trusts it. I think that you can talk about the fake news era. You can talk about the fact that, some newsrooms are specifically left or right. And that's not why I joined journalism. I joined journalism to make a difference, to tell a story, to be fair, to be honest. But it's been challenging sometimes when you go into communities and they're like, "Oh, well, you work for this, this, and this, so you're not going to be honest, so I'm not going to talk to you." Or, when you're covering an election, they might accuse you of being one way or the other. Even aside from politics, sometimes you have to cover really difficult things, maybe a murder, maybe a fire where someone's lost their home, or maybe a natural disaster like a hurricane, which is filled with a lot of potentially dangerous things. So those have always been challenging. I'll also say, as an Asian American, sometimes when you're reporting in small communities where there isn't a lot of representation, you can deal with some racism. You can also deal with some mistrust. And also, I don't know if your other guests have spoken to this, but as an Asian American, sometimes you have to work like 10 times harder than other folks just to get noticed, just to make it. And so those have been challenging, I think. I'm no longer working as a journalist per se. I'm now a professor full time, but I am teaching journalism, and I always want to make sure my students know about these challenges, regardless of what race they are, but especially if they are a person of color, to be aware that yes, you need to be mindful of how the industry will play out, but also as a person of color, the playing field is not level. So, those are the things that I reflect on being challenging for me.
Definitely, that definitely sounds challenging. And definitely, like your point about how, as a person of color, you have to work a lot harder than others just to stand out, just to be on like the same, again, the not e even playing field. That's definitely a really strong point. I think that's definitely a lot of things like an issue, a consistent issue that Asian Americans like face. So I guess similar to that, like, did being Asian American like influence your career choice? Like whether like from like parental influence or like cultural influences?
It's so interesting because no one in my family has been a journalist. So in a way, I was kind of like charting my own path, and that was very scary because my family has a background in the medical field. When they came to this country, it was something that they had studied back home in India and Pakistan, and good paying jobs, always in demand. Always like nearby. You didn't have to travel very far. You could just to kind of like go do your work and come home and not bring it with you. So lots of reasons why, a profession like that would be preferred. It also pays generally well. So I understand why some families are hoping that their kids are in these types of fields. I also think that we tend to value some jobs higher than other jobs. So when I told my family that I was going into journalism, my mom was supportive and my dad, it took him a little bit of time. I think he didn't know what a future in journalism would look like for me. But I will say that when he started seeing articles with my name on them, when he started seeing me on TV, when I went to Columbia, then he started developing pride and he's like, okay, I can see this. So, I did get the support of my family and that was really important for me. And I'll also say that when I went into broadcasting, I didn't see a lot of people who looked like me on TV doing the news. So, like, I had Sanjay Gupta, and that kind of what my family was like hoping that I would be is like, I'd be on TV, but I'd also be like in the medical field. And I'm not particularly interested in the medical field. I can't stand the sight of blood. But I will say that I wanted to be, an example for my community that you can look like me and you can do this. And I think that's kind of guided me in my career is, I was on TV for about 8 years. And then I went into public relations and now I'm a teacher. And I do have a teaching history in my family. So in a way, it's like I'm coming back to something that has also been a point of pride for my family. I also noticed that like in my university, there aren't a lot of people who look like me that are teaching things, and especially not journalism. So I think for me, being Asian American has absolutely impacted what choices I've made in my career. And I think they've all been good choices.
Wow, that's great to know, honestly. And it's really great like how you talk about how like eventually your Asian parents like maybe didn't understand, like that's a really common, so like they really don't understand at first. They're like they've only seen a couple of like paths that they think are like acceptable, but then like they start developing pride. That's a great story to hear. Well, it's been so great hearing your story, Stephen. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Brian. This has been fun to talk about, and I can't wait to see and listen to the other guests on your podcast.
Oh, definitely. This has been the Not the Model Minority Podcast. Be sure to stay tuned in for the next one. Brian Yang, signing off. Be sure to hit the follow button to never miss another episode of Not the Model Minority Podcast. See you next time.